Welcome to the Project Happy Place podcast. Project Happy Place is a podcast to spark conversations and inspire people to do more of what makes them happy. I want to encourage people to visit their happy place, whether it be for 10, 20, or 30 minutes a day in order to live a more balanced life. Happy Place doesn't have to be a plane ride away for a one-week vacation. It can be a cup of coffee in your favorite mug, an afternoon meditation, or cooking a new recipe. My guests inspire me and hopefully you to do more of what makes them happy. Since recording this episode, I had the opportunity to participate in one of my next guest's breathwork workshops, and it was incredible. I meditate daily and I've done some breathwork on my own, but it doesn't even come close to the power of attending a breathwork workshop with others. I hope you enjoy. This episode brings a smile to my face. Whenever I connect with my next guest, I leave feeling grounded and inspired to do more of what makes me happy. This is going to be a special one. I hope you're ready. Jessica Rector is a former doctor of physical therapy and pelvic floor specialist. After working under the Western medicine paradigm for years, she realized the chronic physical symptoms require not only physical solutions, but those that address the heart, soul, and energy field as well. She heard her calling and shifted her work to integration coaching and psychedelic healing. She is the founder of Body Absolution and is based in San Diego. Her work now involves using breathwork and plant medicines to induce elevated states of consciousness, which allow her clients to release very emotions, traumatic memories, and long-held negative thought loops. Welcome to the Project Happy Place podcast, Jessica.
Hello, pleasure to be here.
Thank you. So just to dive right in, I explained a little in the intro about your background, being a doctor of physical therapy. Can you share with us what is your why and how you got started doing the work that you're doing today?
Yeah, so I feel like there are two avenues that got me here. The first one is sort of my personal avenue, and the second is my professional. And you kind of covered how, you know, I started off in physical therapy, and basically as a pelvic PT, I was working with people with bowel, bladder, and sexual dysfunctions and chronic pain. And it was a really rewarding profession. If I would have been doing that for the rest of my life, I would have been perfectly happy. But I really always felt like the improvement that my clients were having was because of the emotional space that I was able to give them and just to create a container in which they could fully express their hurt and their hardship. And then the physical things were sort of this icing on the cake thing that we're helping them a little bit. And what I really liked about that is, you know, that container that I was creating for people, but people were going to physical therapy or coming to me in that realm to only access these physical solutions. And I just felt like I had a lot more to offer with mindfulness coaching and nutrition and sleep hygiene and getting them into social circles that were supportive. I think all of that is so essential. So I just was feeling like I had much more to offer than people were coming to receive from me. And then from a personal perspective, you know, like I've been through my own hardships and I put myself in therapy when I was in high school and got into a yoga practice and a mindfulness meditation practice myself. And eventually my personal growth and healing journey led me to recreational plant medicine use, and then eventually getting really into breath work and using plant medicines like cannabis with a more medicinal and ceremonious atmosphere. And so both of those things combined just eventually within the last couple of years brought me to this place where I was like, well, I feel like I have just been able to constantly peak using this avenue. So rather than trying to convince people coming to me for physical therapy to go down this avenue as well, or not being able to talk to them about it because of my scope of practice, I'm just going to shift out of that and create a business where, you know, people are coming to me for this and I have the freedom to talk to them about the healing that I have had and kind of guide them on this path as well.
Cool. I love what you said, because I personally ran into some of those challenges with, for people that are tuning in that are not aware, I had an injury in October of 2020 and was kind of put through the traditional Western medicine, you know, every step one, step two, step three, which led me to physical therapy. And after about six sessions, I wasn't seeing any progress. So I felt as though I wasn't being treated completely, that something more was going on than just the physical pain that I was feeling in my foot. So I can definitely see how in working with your clients, you saw that maybe this one physical thing, there's more to that. So I think that's really cool that you're able to kind of pull back the layers there. And I can attest to the fact that you create space for people like no one I've ever met. So I'm sure that your clients would agree with me on that one.
Thank you.
So you offer a number of different services. So I kind of want to start and do baby steps here for people. So the first would be the breath work that you do. So for people that are not familiar with breath work workshops, can you give them a little bit more information about what to expect?
Yeah. So my experience with breath work started with, you know, my training as a pelvic floor PT. Just within that container, the relationship that the diaphragm or your breathing muscle has with your pelvic floor is really important. And when one or more of the muscles within your trunk or your core or your hip complex is not working properly, it essentially can send the whole system out of balance. And so the first thing I would always give people is diaphragmatic breathing, which a lot of people have heard as belly breathing. And the idea with that relaxed type of breathing is just to bring your system back into balance using a slower breath. Box breathing also utilizes belly breathing, but it has you count in like a 4 second inhale, 4 second hold, 4 second exhale. And so that's kind of where I start people, just to restore their breathing pattern that they should be using all the time, but that they have probably gotten out of habit of just with like the stresses and the postures that we've developed over time. But breath work can also be certain types of breath work that you're doing in yoga classes. I do 26 and 2, formerly known as Bikram yoga, and there's a really intense breathing exercise at the beginning of that class and at the end of that class. The first one being to kind of elevate your body temperature, and the last one being to clear out your system of everything that you've worked through. And so breath work is really variable. There's many different styles. They can be to give you energy or to relax you, to cleanse anger or sadness, or to calm you down if you're feeling, you know, an energy that maybe doesn't belong in a certain atmosphere. A lot of people are familiar with something called Wim Hof breathing, which is essentially a lot of power breaths and then a breath hold. And then there's other types of breathing called holotropic breath work and various, you know, variations all amongst the bunch that people have kind of gone their own way with. And so really it depends on what you're trying to access that will determine which breath work you're using. But when I personally hold group breath work ceremonies, it is with the intention of creating some type of personal development. I have people come to the session with some sort of intention. You know, maybe it's that they're trying to access a creative process that has been blocked, or they're trying to solve an issue within themselves or within a relationship or within a professional goal that in sober space they just really haven't been able to access. And so the type of breath work that I do is sort of similar to Wim Hof and holotropic breathwork, but it's not exactly the same as either one of those. It's just sort of something that I've tweaked on my own. And the idea is, you know, we're sober in that space. There's no plant medicines or substances used, but the breathwork itself can actually change the areas of your brain that are functioning to induce a somewhat psychedelic state. And so I actually call that type of breathing psychedelic breathing, which can be confusing for some people. They think that maybe we're using certain things during the ceremony, but we're actually not. Everyone is just sober, and it's the breathwork itself that induces that state of mind and allows you to view things from different emotional or thought perspectives that creates the actual change for the intention that you come with.
That's amazing. I mean, I feel like to pause there for a second, like this is mind blowing for people, me especially, that you can get to a psychedelic state from breath work. I mean, that to me just goes to show how powerful our breath is. And like you said, I feel like so many times people are not using that. I mean, the power of the breath, and even when you're kind of getting into a space where you're wobbling or you're feeling anxiety creep on, it's a tool that you can literally use anywhere to get yourself grounded again. So exactly. I think that's pretty amazing.
Exactly. And it's a really cool avenue for people who maybe, you know, like in California, cannabis is legal, so I can host cannabis ceremonies, but that's not really true everywhere. And so for people who either don't have access to a plant medicine like that, or who are averse to using other types of plant medicine, this is a really cool way for them to access the type of healing that I have to offer without them having to cross over something that feels like an ethical boundary for them. It also is a really safe space to do that, because the way to get out of that mindset is really just to change the breathing style that you have. And so it's not like you reach this altered state of consciousness and you're stuck there. You know, you just raise a hand and I kind of guide you back to a relaxed breath if for some reason you don't want to be there, and then you escape it. That's not my preferred way to function through those ceremonies, because I think if you're going through something tough in that ceremony space, it's happening with a purpose so that it can come up to the surface and be cleared so that you no longer have to carry it from day to day. But it is an option to remove yourself from it just purely with a different breathing style if you so desire.
Yeah, I mean, it's pretty amazing. And I think the other thing that you mentioned was coming with intention. So I think that's a really important piece of the puzzle when you work with people. Rather than having somebody, you know, schedule a session with you, they come and then you do breath work. It's really being really laser focused and purposeful in why they're going to work with you. And I feel as though that's where your success lies, in the fact that people are coming to work with you with intention. And can you talk people through a little bit about what that process is, if they're kind of scratching their head as though like, well, I don't, maybe they feel like they could have many intentions, or maybe they just don't know exactly what their intention would be. So how you work with people to kind of find what that would be for them.
Absolutely. I think that intention setting is the most important step of every process that I have, because I really believe that we have a lot of power in this world, and you can get what you ask for if you know how to ask for it and how to access it. And believing that you can have that is a huge piece of it, you know? So the intention setting is really essential. And I meet with everyone for sort of this consultation meeting before we do any types of ceremonies together. And that session is really focused on me explaining to them the options of how we might work together, and then giving me sort of an information dump about their whole life, because you're right. It usually is like, ideally we have one intention, but people come to me with like, I want to change this about my job. I want to change this about the place that I live. I want to change this about my friendships, this about the way that I view myself. And I have no romantic life, or I want to totally shift that too. And I'm like, cool. So basically you want a total reboot of everything, which is fine. I love that. It creates a lot of space for us to create change. But that's in general what people come to me with. There's just kind of all of these balls being juggled in the air and they don't even know where to start. So we talk through them, and something that I happen to be really good at is finding the common theme between all of those. I believe that how you do anything is how you do everything. And so if you have noticed a behavior or a thought loop pattern expressing itself in your job, it's probably also being expressed in your relationships, and it may not be as present or as noticeable to you as the same type of theme. But when you're explaining it to me, I try to figure out what that common theme is. And then we make an intention that is specific enough to you that it feels like it's your intention and I haven't given you someone else's, but general enough that it feels like it's hitting every piece of things that you've talked about. I function a lot from the chakra system, which may or may not be familiar to people that are listening, but basically there are, depending on which culture you are learning the chakra system from, there's anywhere from 7 to 10 major chakras in your body, which are just energy centers. And they all hold certain negative things and they all have certain positive benefits when they're functioning optimally. And so oftentimes what I'll find is, say, for the solar plexus chakra, someone is talking a lot about their insecurities and things they don't like about themselves, and they want to access different areas of life, but they can't access them, and they just don't believe that they deserve them. And so that, from the solar plexus chakra perspective, is out of balance, because that's showing a lot of insecurity, lack of confidence, lack of power. And so we can ideally eliminate an imprint of powerlessness to create that person's personal power, and that would shift that chakra specifically. Sometimes people have a couple of things that we're working on, but in general, I try to kind of hone it into one thing. And then we go into the space with that intention and you just get what you ask for, which is a pretty amazing thing about this work.
That's amazing. And I don't know why Jay-Z's 99 Problems song is popping into my head, but it might be because I watched The Shop last night and he was on the episode I had watched, but it's like exactly that. I got 99 problems. How can I find just one intention?
So yes, exactly.
What you said is really the common theme. Sometimes even in having your assistants to guide people, you can realize like maybe you're saying that about your relationship personally, but that could also be happening professionally or interacting with your friends. So I love that you can help guide people to kind of create what that intention will be. So I kind of now want to move in. We've done baby steps to first talk about breath work and to now kind of get into your work with psychedelics. So I recently read an article that was published in the New York Times on May 12th of 2021, and the title of it was "The Psychedelic Revolution is Coming, Psychiatry May Never Be the Same." And the author, Michael Pollan, so he wrote a book, How to Change Your Mind, and also Omnivore's Dilemma, and a couple of others that people are probably familiar with. So his quote in this article was, "There has been a sea of change in attitudes about what not long ago was considered fringe science has helped destigmatize the drugs in the 3 years since it was published. Given the mental health crisis in this country, there's great curiosity and hope about psychedelics and a recognition that we need new therapeutics." So it's like, okay, bomb dropped there. I said a lot of things, but I think the key words for me are mental health crisis and how we need to destigmatize these drugs. So can you tell us a little bit about the work that you do with people in psychedelics?
Yeah, so the very first piece of this, I guess, is the intention setting and the integration coaching. There are plenty of people across the country doing psychedelics in various forms, whether it's LSD, psilocybin, which is active ingredient in magic mushrooms, ayahuasca, peyote, and then MDMA or Molly. It's not technically a psychedelic, but it's getting grouped into this psychedelic shift in our culture, as well as cannabis. So some of those things, specifically cannabis, are legal. Most of the other things are not, unless you are in a religious setting. And we are impatiently awaiting for various states and hopefully eventually the federal government to change the laws about these things. But my primary focus with intention setting and integration coaching is, you know, if people are doing these things anyway, how can I guide them to make sure that they are doing them safely? And rather than people just, you know, out of the blue taking LSD and not putting any intention into it, not knowing where it's coming from, not thinking about set and setting, and that's just going to set them up for likely a negative experience. I don't truly believe in quote unquote bad trips unless someone has not been screened for personality disorders like schizophrenia or bipolar, or they're on antidepressants. So those are really the two biggest indicators that you should not be doing any type of psychedelic work. But if you are going into stuff like this without hitting the basic check marks, you might unexpectedly dive into some shadow work and not be prepared for it. And now to you, it feels like a bad trip because that's not really what you were intending. So the biggest things I help coach people through are, if you are going to do one of these experiences, you must set an intention. If you're going to do it recreationally with friends, get everyone in a circle before you do it and literally just say, our intention for this journey is to enjoy music and dive into our friendship and have a good time, just so your bases are covered. It doesn't always necessarily have to be a ceremonious thing, but I absolutely think an intention should be set. And then set and setting is the mindset that you're in, as well as the setting that you're in. So if you're in a space that's giving you anxiety, you probably shouldn't be taking these things, because all they're going to do is make those negative emotions that you're having a little bit worse. I try to tell people to be mindful of the people that you're doing these medicines with. If you are doing it in a group that gives you social anxiety, or that you have a rift of a relationship with someone, maybe not an ideal group of people to be doing these things with, because again, it's just going to create a negative energy that it's coming to the surface so it can heal. But if that's not what you're looking for, if you're just looking to have a good time, it's not really the best option. And then obviously source, you know, something like mushrooms. If you're doing that, you can see that it is a mushroom when you get it. But things like LSD or MDMA that are manufactured, you can't really know unless you have personally made it yourself what the substance is. So if you're going to be doing something like that, you need to be purchasing test kits online and going from there. And even those, you know, can only be so reliable. So just doing everything with serious caution. And so that's sort of where the intention setting and the integration coaching comes in, just setting people up for success and then touching base with them after their experience. Sometimes people have already had experiences that they're having trouble processing, and so they contact me to do integration coaching. And the way that I describe the purpose of that is, essentially in the psychedelic experiences, you're downloading new software onto your computer system. And the integration phase is when you learn how to use the software. And sometimes that can be difficult, especially if you weren't intending for the process to be a healing process and it turned a little dark, or if you were intending for that, but maybe you just need a little bit of guidance on how to bring the information that you got in spirit space to earth space. And so I guide people through actions and activities and meditations and movement practices that they can do to really optimize the integration of these experiences. So that's sort of part one. And then part two is using plant medicines like cacao or cannabis or other things to facilitate those psychedelic states of mind. People often don't consider cannabis a psychedelic, but Daniel McQueen, who started the Center for Medicinal Mindfulness in Colorado, wrote a book called Psychedelic Cannabis, Breaking the Gate, that you can read. And in it, he talks about exactly how you can actually use cannabis as a psychedelic to activate the parts of our brain that normally would be activated with the breath work I talked about, or with traditional psychedelics. And if those parts of the brain are active, then that's really all you need to have that psychedelic experience and process things in different ways. So there's a bunch of different options. It just sort of depends on, have people had these experiences on their own? Are they looking for me to help them through it or help them recover from it? Do they want to do things by themselves? Do they want to do it in a group setting? So there's lots of different options. I really believe that the intention setting and the integration piece are by far the huge pieces of the puzzle that often get missed that are essential, because you can have a really powerful experience, but if you are not conscious of integrating it into your day-to-day life, then it's kind of like you watched a movie and threw it away. And so having a coach, whether it's me or someone else, and going to integration circles, whether they're virtual or in person, I think is so important to make stuff like this stick. And that's really how you make the change, using these types of medicines that normal therapy just can't access, honestly.
Definitely. I think what you said, I mean, that first off, it might get a bad reputation. So whether somebody heard from a friend that they had a bad experience, or they personally had a bad experience, that's where I think people stumble initially. But like you said, this is about doing it in a safe space with intention setting, where you, you know, would meet with you have an intention, have a ceremony, and then the integration piece afterwards. And I think, you know, it's no surprise that this is work that people would need to put in. But like you said, I mean, I've heard people say something like this is like years of therapy crammed into one ceremony. So the power of that to me just is pretty incredible. And it seems to have applications for people with addiction. So many different ways at which this is like helping people. And you can tell when modern medicine starts to catch up, as they are now, that we're really onto something here. I mean, another part of the article mentioned that there's dozens of startups that have, you know, started to surface. And one of those is called Field Trip Health, which is a clinic mm-hmm. that has, you know, a number of different locations across the country where people can go and experience this in a quote unquote more traditional feeling. So they walk into an office and it's set up in a different way than maybe your traditional doctor, but it seems like it's really catching on mainstream because of the amazing, you know, effects it's having on people's lives. So are you able to share a favorite one or two kind of client testimonial that you have and people that you've worked with?
It's so interesting because I feel like I just love every single one of the stories with my clients because they're all so important to me. It's hard to pick, but I think something that is really good for people to hear is that this work isn't just for people trying to heal things. It can also be for people trying to reach a peak potential with something. So I sort of have two groups of clients. Half will come to me because they have a trauma that they're trying to heal or a negative thought loop, for example, like, I don't deserve this type of love, or people aren't going to like me because of this. Those are negative thought loops to me. Or maybe they're trying to heal relationship stuff. So that's kind of the first camp. And then the other camp are people who are trying to maybe access creative flow with writing a book or to build a startup company or something like that, where they don't necessarily feel like they need healing that other people might need, but they do want growth. And that's really the beautiful thing about this type of work is that it's for both. And often what happens is people who are trying to heal a trauma end up accessing new parts of their potential anyway. And people who are only coming to me to access their potential end up healing traumas that they didn't even know existed. So it ends up being both anyway. But I just want to say that so that people listening to this who maybe don't feel like they need to heal something, this can still be really beneficial for you in tons of different ways. So I have one client who came to me. She went through like a really bad breakup right before we worked together, and it really triggered these abandonment issues that she had with her dad. And when I started working with her, she was basically like incapacitated on a couch and unable to do anything because of how sad she was, how anxious she was feeling, and just like unable to cope at all with anything. She was in therapy, so it's not like she wasn't doing anything for herself. It's just that nothing was really creating any breakthroughs. And you know, all these testimonials are on my Instagram or on my website, but one of the things that she said was just that you know, my guiding her through one of these retreat type experiences really allowed her to break through from that in a way that nothing else had been able to up until that point. And it's not really magic dust, you know, it's not like we worked together and all that sadness was gone. There's that integration phase like we talked about, but that ceremony was really special because it was kind of still, her trauma was still sort of in its acute phase. And to be able to work with someone right when they're going through a sadness like that can be really impactful, so they don't have to carry it for years and years and years. This week was a really cool week to hear from clients because I worked with someone last week and his goal was kind of to access his manifestation powers. He was trying to access these different things and he couldn't really figure out his barriers. And on Monday he texted me and said that he quit his job or put in his notice. And I was like, oh my gosh, that's amazing. You know, I don't think everyone should quit their jobs for no reason, but this person in particular, I've been thinking about it for a long time. He's starting a startup company. And we talked in that space a lot about how if your energy is divided, then your passion can't really be getting all of your energy. So does it even really have the opportunity to be successful? And with that, I heard from you, who also is putting in your notice. And then I heard from another client who I had been just coaching for months, who finally had put in her notice so that she could take the GRE and go to grad school. And so it was amazing to hear from all three of those people in one day. And even though I had accessed healing things with them, all of the intentions ended up having this result that just shifted their life path in such a huge way that is really amazing. And it's really cool to see people starting to shift into more of a passion instead of a matrix job that they just sort of like happened to be in.
Definitely. And I think I heard you speak on another podcast about, you know, the concern that people might say, well, I'm scared at what might come up in a ceremony, mm-hmm. but it's like, literally the thoughts are in your brain, whether you realize it or not, they're there yeah. one way or the other. So in a safe space with an intention, let's bring that to the surface so that we can have a breakthrough in order for people to live a more purposeful life. I mean, that's the point, right? If like going through COVID and a pandemic hasn't taught us anything about like the life that you have to live, it's this, like, let's make the most of every moment that we have. And I feel as though you are doing that and you're such a inspiration to me. I think you have a gift and I am so grateful that you're sharing that with people and decided to make this shift into the work that you do now. And I feel like I could have more than one episode with you. So we'll kind of start to wrap this one up and then hear from people as they listen and what really resonated with them. But I did want to just share with people that if you're located in the Southern California area, Jessica and I are doing a retreat together along with my friend Natalie. And it's really a women's wellness retreat. So Jessica will be doing a lot of breath work throughout the weekend, and my friend Natalie will be doing yoga. So we're really trying to create a safe space for people where they can learn some of these techniques. So I'll make sure to post the link to that in the show notes. So thank you again, Jessica, for coming. And as we kind of close out, because the whole, you know, the title of this podcast is Project Happy Place, and from the outside looking in, you are living in a happy place. Daily. Are there any things that you do or daily habits that help to kind of keep you in that place?
I definitely have daily habits of breathwork, meditation, and some type of movement. But I was thinking about this question when you sent it to me, and you're right. It really does feel like I now am lucky enough to live in this place where my whole life is a happy place. And I know that that sounds a little bit like woo-woo maybe, but I've worked really hard to get here. I don't ever sit with emotions that I don't like. I don't get lost in thought loops for too long. If something comes up, I have worked really hard to learn how to not bury it and do something like a breath work ceremony or go somewhere else and do a plant medicine ceremony of some kind so that I can process it. And I think that I saw this quote the other day that was like, everyone thinks about the cost of a book or a coaching session or a course, but what is the cost of you being in the exact same place that you are now, a year or 5 years or a decade from now, because you have pushed off the work? And I just think that that's so powerful, because that's really how I have created this happy place, is not pushing off the work and just knowing that if I need to change something, the time to change it is now. So do with that what you will, but I think it's important.
I know. And that's a really beautiful thing to say, because how often do we do the work for somebody else, whether exactly. it's for a friend or family member or at our job? I mean, how much work do you do for these other people? It's like, let's start with ourselves and do the work on ourselves, because we're capable of it. And we can kind of get to access that state of happy place more often. And thank you so much for joining. And I really hope that if people are interested in learning more about you and the work that you do, that they can connect with you. I know that you're always willing to set up time to meet with people either virtually or in person. So I hope that they do that after this podcast. Thanks for yes. being on.
Thank you for having me.